KTCK Dallas Fort Worth, KTBK Sherman Denison, KTDK Sanger. The old crotchety wolf, the lovable, huggable hammer, and abrasive and over-the-top Corby. This is The Hardline on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.
4:54 is the time. This is Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. You're listening to The Hardline. And joining us is Steve Eberhardt of historyofcliff.com. Steve has brought in a lot of the audio that KLIF, the mighty 1190, the preeminent radio station in Dallas for years and years, all through the, I guess, late 50s?
Mid to late 50s through all of the 60s.
All of the 60s and all
part of the early 70s.
Yeah, the preeminent radio station in this market for many years, and certainly the preeminent radio station in 1963.
Right.
Steve has a lot of the audio that they threw down surrounding the shots on the Kennedy motorcade as it went through downtown Dallas. Now, where did we leave off here?
We were just talking about how Gordon McClendon then was at the trademark,
right,
where the president was supposed to give a speech.
Now, we should mention to everybody, Gordon McClendon was the owner.
It was the owner of the radio station. They had several stations across the country. Cliff was their flagship station, if you will, of all of the McClendon radio stations. And Gordon was a flamboyant owner in some ways, a programming genius, a promotional genius. I don't think using those words is out of line here. He was one of the rare people in broadcasting at the time, and perhaps even today, who put programming first and the business of the radio station second. Enormously successful in most of the radio stations he operated. The one here, KLIF, was hugely popular at the time, and obviously their cash cow. Gordon was not unlike a lot of people in radio. He was a programming man. He you know, loved the limelight from that respect. And if an event would take place that he felt he could be a part of and help, he would walk into the studio and, you know, others would step aside so that he could begin.
Now, one thing I remember about him is he would do editorials.
Gordon did editorials on the radio station, and if he had an incident or an issue on his mind, he would do an editorial and offer the opportunity for any viewing opposing viewpoint to come on and challenge his.
More times than not. Which almost never happened.
More times than not, it went unchallenged. But Gordon was at the trademark. Now we're starting to get information a little bit more and a little bit more. We understand now that the president has been hit in this whole scene. And so Gordon McClendon's at the trademark. When he hears the news, he told me he was sitting at a table when somebody at a table nearby who had a transistor radio with him jumped up and said, "My God, the president's been shot." Gordon immediately went to a phone and called into the newsroom and filed this report.
Three loud bursts of gunfire, possible tragedy on this November 22nd in Big D. We're going to switch now to the trademark, and here is a statement from Gordon McClendon.
Gordon McClendon at the trademark in Dallas. Here, the scene is of wild pandemonium as 2,000 guests waited anxiously for President Kennedy, Governor Connally, and the Vice President. Now, rumors run rampant. No one here knows what will happen, but the rumors continue to circulate that the President and Governor Connally both have been shot. And here at the trademark, we have nothing but rumors and a wild scene of chaos. This is Gordon McClendon from the trademark in Dallas.
So that's Gordon.
And right, and he really didn't tell anybody much.
He didn't have a whole lot to say, but, you know, he wanted to get involved.
He wanted to
give his part.
Yeah, just establish that Cliff was at the trademark.
Was at the trademark, would have been there to hear the speech and file a report. Now, from there we go on. One of the things that's interesting is the United Press International, of course, is all over the story. And they're spitting out bulletin about what is going on. And it's just an ongoing list of bulletins of the latest information they have. And one of the things that came across was Merriman Smith, who was their reporter in Dallas and was in the press box, press bus, and then went on to Parkland Hospital, talked to Clint Hill, one of the Secret Service men, and said, "How does it look?" And in a very graphic way, turned to Merriman Smith, the UPI reporter, and said, he's blanking dead. And Merriman called it in to UPI headquarters, taking the expletive out, and UPI held it for a few minutes because they realized the gravity of that statement. And if they put it out, they better be darn sure that it is accurate.
Right.
And I talked to the man who was manning UPI's wire service national headquarters in Chicago here a while back, and he was telling me the story that there they saw it come across their inside A wire, and they were just really reluctant to put it out to their broadcast clients. They finally did, and that is what you'll hear Gary DeLon, the KLIF reporter, report now.
We are still trying to get in touch with Parkland Hospital. We hope to have confirmation. The latest report that we have from one press source, Clint Hill, a Secret Service agent assigned to Mrs. Kennedy, said he's dead as the president was lifted from the rear of the White House touring car. Mr. Kennedy was rushed to the Parkland Hospital emergency room. Other White House officials were in doubt as the corridors of the hospital erupted in pandemonium. The incident occurred at Elmer Houston in the downtown area as the motorcade wended its way through the region. Houston in the motorcade did hear the three bursts from the automatic rifle. It is impossible, and was so at the time, to tell where the chief executive was struck by the bullets. We are now in contact with one of our news units, and we are going to switch you now for another report from the downtown section of Dallas.
So long again, and with mobile news unit number 4 and the police cordon and the widespread search net continues, we still do not know whether this would-be assassin is trapped in the building or in the area at all. The search continues. We're going to vacate this mobile unit momentarily, and we'll be back in touch with you just as quickly as possible. KLIF newsman and mobile unit spread throughout all the strategic spots covering this story. We'll bring you full details momentarily. So long, Cliff, mobile news unit number 41190.
Now, the interesting thing there is you can just hear the trepidation in his voice, because he's getting this off the wire machine, he's looking at it, and as he's trying to read it before he broadcasts it, you can just tell that there's a little pregnant pause there where he's just not real sure he ought to read this,
right.
But he goes ahead and does that. I asked Gary in an interview I did with him recently specifically what he was thinking when he saw that and read it. Let's play 19 now.
Well, that was UPI, and I realized the gravity of it and just paused to choose not to repeat it again.
So he read it, and as soon as he read it, he kind of had the feeling he probably shouldn't have done that, and if, as the broadcast continues on, he chooses not to repeat that until much, much later on.
Now, it was about here, at this point, that the speakers at Brown Junior High that day came on with all this,
right?
Because I think I remember hearing that last cut that you played.
But he's dead.
Yeah. I think I remember hearing that. Prior to that, we'd been hearing, like, in the halls and stuff,
right,
that somebody shot the president. But that was just it. I mean, and who knew if it was true? Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. They didn't have
any... They actually turned Cliff on and played it over the speakers?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
At that, I mean, just all of a sudden, I was sitting in Mr. Stoll's math class, room 121 at Brown Junior High, and all of a sudden, the intercom comes on.
Right.
And they're rolling that.
That's amazing.
And I think I remember hearing Gary DeLon on with that.
Well, that was the first quote that anybody in any capacity gave that said he's dead.
Yeah.
And that was a Secret Service agent, and in retrospect, Gary tells me that they were very reluctant to repeat that because, yes, it was a Secret Service agent, it's somewhat official, but it's not completely
right.
Official. So they were just real concerned about continuing to report something as
but
serious
at
as that.
At the time, he ripped that off the API wire, right? The UPI wire.
UPI, yes. He did, but again, that was just quoting Clint Hill, the Secret
right.
Service agent. So he felt okay from that regard that it wasn't something made up. But the one thing they did not want to do is report a dead president when there was not a dead president.
Because it's not like it is, you know, you do that now, because in everybody's quest to be first, they'll
right.
put out anything, and then they'll come back and go, well, that's not really true.
Right. And
back then...
We've seen the example of that many times in recent American history where reporters have reported one thing.
Well, like
and
the election of 2000.
Well, sure.
I mean, there's your big example there. But back then, there was a big knack to be accurate.
So the story just continues to evolve as the broadcast goes, and it's just amazing how accurate they kept everything and how they kept their composure as well as they could, despite the fact that it was quite emotional for all of them to be involved in. Let's go down to cut number 21 if we can. This is Gary DeLon again, who gave me an idea of what he was thinking, especially during those first few minutes of his broadcast.
All right, go ahead and play this and we'll take a break next.
Do we have that? Okay, we'll get back to that.
Okay. All right, more. Say again.
Oh, all right.
Okay, all right. More with Steve Eberhardt of historyofcliff.com on what you heard on KLIF November 22nd, 1963, next here on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket.